I'd like to carry on from last week, if that's possible. Of course it is. From 2 Peter, chapter 1, and that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we've spent quite a few weeks talking about the three aspects of life, our physical life, our spiritual life, and eternal life. And last week we started looking at scriptures about that he's given us all things that pertain to godliness or godlikeness. I have spent a really long time thinking about what he's given us that pertain to godliness or godlikeness. And I keep coming back to the new man in Christ versus the old man before he knew the Lord. Because of such a contrast, it helps us to appreciate exactly what God has done for us. And I talked to you about the funeral we had in Africa with mourners and everything, and it was really cool because they really wailed and mourned and swatted the ground with their garments and really like they were really grieving. I didn't grieve when my old nature died. I kind of was rejoicing. It happened so fast. I was dead and then suddenly I was alive. I went to my funeral and was right there for my resurrection party at the same time. It took a long time to begin to understand how we're to walk that out. And yet, we all did that. So I came to the new man. I started last week with Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. And I don't know what happened to the recording about that. Tom said it was very, very hot, so I figured Aaron might know what to do about that. Maybe the signal going in was a little high, I don't know. But he had to tweak that a little bit to make it listenable on the website, but nevertheless doable. So I'd like to read from the New Living Translation. I don't use it often, but sometimes I like the way things are worded a little better. But this is what God has done that pertains to life. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. We're still in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. And these are pertaining to the new you, the new man that Paul talks about in the scriptures. The old man, he died. And the more distance in years that I put between him and me, I like it more. Because I don't think in terms of the old man anymore. And even in my father, we used to call him the old man whenever he went around to whack us. And when he died, that didn't seem to really matter to us. We were just kind of glad he was out of the way. I know that sounds kind of sad, but at the time, that's where my life was at. I can't not give you a reason for saying that. And when he died, I didn't miss him. I was quite relieved. But the more I've thought about the old man before I knew Christ, now the more that I know him, I don't care about the old man. He doesn't matter anymore because he no longer holds power over my life except what I give him. And that's getting less and less as time goes on, and I'm sure it is for you as well. One thing you have to understand about the old sin nature is it doesn't sit up in the box. It's dead. It died with Christ. And when Christ was raised up, your new spirit was raised up to be with him and to dwell in him and to be with him forever. Here's another promise. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. This is you. This is talking about you in the body of Christ. This is another thing that God has done, that he's given us, that pertains to God-likeness. He's made you in his image. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. And I talked a bit about that last week. I remember talking about laying the cornerstone for the building at Camp Heaven and how all the stones that connect to our cornerstone are all vital about where the cornerstone is, because it affects all the stones to the left of it, to the right of it, and above it. And if Christ is the cornerstone of the foundation on which we live and stand now, that's very important, because God's building is not made with hands. It's made by the Spirit, and it's made up of each member of the body of Christ and how each one needs the other. We're like the other stones. Dr. Livingstone, I presume. You're a living stone in the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You're built on that. That's another thing that he's done that pertains to life. A lot of these scriptures are in the book of Ephesians and Colossians, so you don't have to go far to find them. But they're all characteristics of your life in Christ that God has made you. We're not dead in Christ, we're alive in Christ. Colossians 1. Oh, here's one. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. See, we couldn't do that before we were saved, but now we can. This affects our new life in him, what we think about, what our attitudes are. Anybody ever need an attitude readjustment from time to time? Yeah? Oh, good. I'm glad I almost drove by here this morning. I'm glad I stopped in the right place. They probably wouldn't hear that down the road, you know. But yeah, it is. We all need readjusting from time to time. Our thoughts and our attitudes. But you know, the nifty thing about it is it's a winnable battle. Unsaved people have an extremely difficult time of getting out of a funk. Their thoughts are in the pit and they don't know what to do. I have more compassion and an honest pity for unsaved people now than I've ever had in my life. I didn't realize how bad my own plight was at the time. But the longer we're saved, and the more I see what's the alternative, the other side doesn't look very good anymore. It doesn't look appealing. It doesn't look anything I want to go back to. Tony, I know you feel the same way. You and I have had some, we don't get a lot of times, but when we do, you know, we have a kindred spirit about stuff like this and seeing everything from the perspective of being in Christ now. And what a tremendous difference. What an advantage we have. I don't wonder that people are so prone to suicide now, and suicidal thoughts and depression and anger and violence, because outside of Christ, what's left? When you really think about it, they're two opposing forces. They're two opposite spirits. And we're either with one or we're with the other. And they don't mix. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. You know why it's good to let the Spirit do it? Because we can't do it on our own. I was having a conversation last week about someone who said they had trouble getting up in the morning and praying, and they kept falling asleep. And I said, do what Jerry Seville did. He had that problem too. And he went before the Lord, and the Lord said, stand on the edge of your bathtub. He never fell asleep again praying. That was a word for him. I don't know if I'd fit on the edge of my bathtub. I'd fit in the middle of it, but not on the edges. Very precarious. But put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. See, that's the new you. These are some of the things that he's done, that he's given us that pertain to life and godliness, godlikeness. It's in the new man. It's in Christ that you'll find that, your new nature. Oh, they just, I use the word gooder a lot, and these next ones, they just keep getting gooder. You got to keep your gooders in your hopper. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and I still have it in the New Living Translation. Since you have been raised to new life, not only in Christ, but with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Remember that scripture we read in Isaiah this morning that we would see the King in all his glory? You can't see it in the natural, but the spirit man can see him in his glory. You see the Lord's glory on every face in his kingdom. You see his likeness in every believer because we're all made in his likeness, in his image. But set your sights on the realities of heaven. It's not a make-believe place. And when I first got saved, I always thought, wow, I wonder if God lives in a castle like at Disney World. Because I got saved in Florida and I was thinking random foolish thoughts about that. And thinking about if as a believer, if all my life since I got saved, I believed all of this. And then one day I found out it wasn't true. I didn't lose anything. And it was the most absolutely the best life that I ever could have lived. Because I don't know how long I would have lived before. But I know now. And it isn't a fairy tale, and it's true. But if it wasn't, it was the greatest fairy tale ever told. I mean, you even have the prince and the king. It's a good story, but it's true. Where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. And think of that. You sit at his right side, spiritually, a place of honor, not a low place. See, that's what... Oh, verse 1 of chapter 3. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. Now I believe that's the theme of the new bulletin I like to cover, set our affections on things above, because that's where our focus needs to be. God will take care of our earth life, but our future... This earth suit weren't designed for eternity here. I just call it an earth suit because we house the Spirit of God. And one day we'll have a glorified body. And we could walk right through this building and not even knock the paint off the wall. Just like Jesus when he came into the upper room. The place was all locked up and closed up. And there he is. In a glorified, resurrected body. Kind of been getting a little more excited about that and how there will be nothing that will ever possibly be able to hinder us. Now we're still living in the earth suits, and if Jesus don't come back and during the time of our lifespan we go back to the dust of the earth, but the spirit man graduates and we'll be with the Lord in an instant, just like that. So I'm kind of thinking that that life that God has given us is such a higher quality of life than anything that we could even imagine. I know, have known some very wealthy people, and they go to bed at night in fear and worry. And they have spent half of their investments in security to protect themselves from those who would come and take what they have. You can't buy what we have, because Christ already paid the price. So I don't mind living a life of joy and gladness because of that. I don't feel bad about that. I feel really good about it. Why shouldn't we? No, we don't have to look down and feel like we're lesser people, and we're not a majority, but we're a remnant. No, Christianity is not a majority in the population. It isn't in any country. But all I know is we're on the winning side. So be of good cheer. We're not powerful in that respect, but we're mighty, mighty in Him. Oh, I got to read the rest of that. Yet now He is reconciled. Oh, yes, 21 and 22, I get those backwards. That's okay. They read real nice. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now He has reconciled you to Himself. That means He balanced out the scales in your favor. To be reconciled, to be made one together. There's no division. There's nothing that separates us from Him.
Can I interrupt for a moment?
Oh, I suppose you probably could.
So verse 3 of this chapter says that your life is hidden in Christ. And so this is you and me, and this is Christ. And my life is hidden in Christ. So when God looks at me, He doesn't see me. He sees Christ.
Yes.
And when Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, I'm in there seated right at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Brings the word to life in a new perspective, doesn't it? I was talking with Gary this morning, and I was talking about being a believer and being in Christ. It's like taking we're part of a kingdom within a kingdom, and it's like taking a glass full of water and putting it in a gallon jug. We're so in Him and with Him that we can't be separated from Him, because we're part of Him, and He in us and we in Him. Okay, so you were His enemy, separated from Him by evil thoughts and actions. Yet now has He reconciled you to Himself. So this is Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. Oh my God, does religion hate this part of the Bible? It will rail and rail and rail and do everything they can to keep you from reading it, to keep you away from it, to make sure that you don't ever discover that these two books are in your Bibles, Ephesians and Colossians. Those are some churches' absolute nightmare, because once they ever know how free you are in Christ, they'll never be able to dominate you and control you and hold you down and hold you back, because that's what a religious spirit does. Because when you know these things for you, it's not about competition anymore. It's about rejoicing together. That new life in Christ, there is nothing like it. And the joy of it is we all get to share it together. And when we come together like this as a body, I just so love to talk about stuff like this, because how edifying and encouraging it is to one another. Because I don't know how many times we hear these things from other people when we leave here. So we got to have Jesus in the house, because He makes up the difference. And this is the life, I believe, on this side of heaven, the best that we could probably be in right now. We're living in a very exciting time. It's a great time to be a believer. Because I'm like with Barbara too. I think that so many people are going to come to their senses and don't want to wallow in all of the stuff that's going on around us, that they're looking for an escape. They're looking for a way out. And it's not suicide. It's Christ inside. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's a good line. It's not suicide. It's Christ inside. Oh, I like that. I should write that down. But I really like this. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. And when we stand before him, it's going to be like your little thing you just did. He sees us through the filter of the blood of Jesus. That's what removed all of our sins, and our sin nature is dead. So Christ doesn't see the old man anymore. God doesn't see that. He sees us, the new us in him. And one more. Just got time for one more?
Yeah.
Sure? Okay, good. This is chapter 3 of Colossians. The first 4 verses. And it says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ. Oh, I did read some of that. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Still more, but we'll wait. Just go home and feed on that this week. It's just such a wonderful, wonderful, true and accurate portrait of your life as scriptures. I think that's really neat about not only our opening scripture, but I don't ever struggle or wrestle with what to bring to share. And the reason I don't is because I already know I don't have to have it all. It comes through you. And that's the way a true living body of Christ should function. Howbeit, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a song, a hymn, a doctrine, something to bring to the table. It's just that a lot of places don't give you the freedom to do that because of other reasons. But we don't have any reason we can't. And so that's why I think there's so much life here, because you're not afraid to speak. You can't interrupt me. You're just the next part of the conversation. It's beautiful how that works. And we should really nurture that environment, because it's quite scarce. It really is. Thank you. Anybody need prayer before we depart from the premises today?